Hey guys, this is Father Deacon Maverick, and today I just want to share a couple of things with you before we start this episode. The first thing being that we are going to be changing the name of this podcast to align it more with what I am doing in South Korea in preaching and ministering. And also the second thing would be related to the direction of this podcast and the fact that I'm starting a new podcast with one of my old hosts on metal and, you know, music and subculture and things like that. So I just want to thank you that if you have been listening to the Humanist Tank, that you would continue supporting this ministry project. As you know, St. Dufina's mission, English mission, is intended to establishing community around the ultimate reality of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ as the eternal Word of God, the eternal principle which God gives to the yearning of man. So that's some things that you can expect. So I will be changing the Humanist Tank to another name, which I won't introduce here. You're gonna have to just see the changes happening. So thank you. Okay, so my name is Father Deacon Maverick, as I said before, but so this is the last episode where we'll be using the term, the name, the Humanist Tank, to, you know, identify this podcast. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One of them being the fact that I think some words like the Ecumenist Tank kind of appeals to certain people. And although the ecumenical direction of this podcast is going to be kept, I really do feel that a lighter name, something that's less theologically intricate or less cryptic, would be a wise move. And just also to absorb everything that I've done on the St. Dufina's English Mission podcast, which I'm probably going to be taking down. So, a lot of things have happened. So everyone knows St. Dufina's English Mission is kind of my own ministry, me being faithful to my diaconal call, and there's a lot of things that we're still trying to do. So, there aren't a lot of foreigners that are really seeking a church, and if they do seek a church, it's usually in the evangelical vein. And, the evangelical Christian religion is not something that I obviously agree with on many points, although there's a very, general sense, there's a general sense in which I agree with evangelical Christians, on Jesus Christ being Lord and so on and so forth. I do sometimes feel like the religious and theological ministerial dynamics of the way I see Christianity functioning is somewhat different to what many evangelical Christians see. So that's obviously something to think about. We are obviously in the Anglo-Catholic / Old Catholic traditions, at St. Dufina's, at St. Dufina's, and also with the Humanist Tank. So I wanted to go over the 20th Sunday after Trinity. I didn't actually do the 19th Sunday. Did I or did I not? So the confusion comes in when I actually attend the Anglican Church and the Catholic Church here in South Korea. So they follow a different lectionary compared to what I follow. So they follow a different calendar and lectionary than I do. So that often causes a lot of confusion, because I'll I'll be reading the verses there with them, and then I'd come home and I'd record, and that sometimes causes a lot of confusion. But I am going to say this from the onset. I don't get time, as I said, to post everything that I want to post. So I kind of just tune into other churches and what they're doing. And I haven't spoken to another friend of mine who runs a mission back in Chonan, but I'm hoping that I can meet up with everyone that I need to this year. Time and money is obviously an inevitable part of this journey, and if you don't hear about people who are interested in doing this, if you don't hear about people that really want to become part of this ministry, it's kind of hard to take it further. And I've come to the conclusion that if this ministry does grow, and God is the one that brings the growth, right? The way in which we grow will not be the way in which one would expect any, ministry to grow, just like in the evangelical world and so on and so forth. You're just not going to expect it to go the same way. And I am active in the circles that I'm active in. This is very, vague, tautological kind of statement. So what I mean by that is the circles, the friends that I have are limited. The spheres in which I move are limited. But I believe that St. Damphina's, can be a blessing to people, because St. Damphina's English mission and the Ecumenist Tank are simply my own ministry, my own evangelical or evangelistic mission and office that I'm trying to exercise. I'm trying to be faithful to God, and that often ends up in me making these podcasts and just speaking to people on a day-to-day basis. And one of the reasons I'll be doing this other podcast on metal and subculture is that I really do feel called to the alternative landscape, the alternative subcultures, whether that's the goth subculture, the emo subculture, metalhead subculture, punk subculture, and the various other subcultures in underground music. And so I feel pretty convicted that that's where I'm going to be spending a lot of my time, which is why I'm plunging into a less religious, less spiritual kind of direction, just focusing on music and then taking it from there. And obviously, one other thing that really gets frustrating for me is that I'd record something, and so like even now I'm thinking about actually scrapping this entire recording, because it's like, oh, you didn't say that right, you said this, you said that, and so it's pretty hard doing this. And I continue to do it because I know that one day someone's going to find this, and someone's going to come to Korea. And if this is your first time tuning in, yes, I am based in South Korea, and most foreigners don't want to join a small group of people hanging out. They don't want to speak to one random guy. They just don't. They'd rather attend a large Korean church, and that's fine. I don't want to undermine people. I don't look down on people that that want to do that. I'm not going to seek to undermine that kind of ambition or that motivation. But what I would say is that not all people are like that, and I'm hoping that if because we get around 10 to 20 listens, and I think that's enough to get the message out, because that means that someone out there is getting spiritual sustenance, someone is being challenged, someone is growing in the Lord. And that's the only thing that I can ask for. I don't want to establish my own kingdom of look how cool I am, look how cool, Father Deacon Maverick is, look, he's calling himself Father, look at that. And I mean, yeah, so that's just something that I wanted to mention. So the colic for today, I'll read the prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, of thy bountiful goodness keep us, we beseech thee, from all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready in body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish those things that thou wouldest have done, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. So we are going to be reading from Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 21. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 21. So, brethren, see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, before I read the St. Matthew passage, I feel like it's something that's recurring. You know, it's been a recurring theme in my conversations with people, my conversations with friends on social media and so on and so forth, as so many Christian metal bands and stuff have released a couple of things. And as we approach Christmas, this whole question of making melody in our heart. And it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And some people have a real misconception about that, because I think that some people, you know, some people, they usually ask me, well, you listen to rock music, you listen to heavy metal music and all of those kinds of genres. So would I, by that logic, then support Christian services with heavy metal bands that are Christian? Well, it's going to come as a surprise to you. I actually try to stay away from services in which there are rock bands and those kind of things. I'm not against music in the church, but I do believe that we need to try to be genre-less or genre objective. And what I mean by that is that I'm very concerned about churches in which a certain musical style is being played. In other words, I really don't like the idea of having a church in which you have maybe pop music, Christian pop music, Christian metal music, Christian rock music, and your church is kind of for Christian metalheads, your church is for Christian reggae fans, your church is for Christian hip-hop fans. I just don't agree with that approach in doing things, you know. I don't agree with that approach of doing things. That approach of doing things is very, very divisive. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. When we try to cater to only one people's music taste, we actually, I think we end up making it about the music, the musical style, more than we are making it about the actual substance of the style. So I have nothing against Christian reggae music. I have nothing against Christian contemporary music. I have nothing against reggae, hip-hop, whatever. But I feel like those genres shouldn't be brought to the church. I feel like there needs to be somewhat of a balance, something that isn't those genres. And I think the church is filled with choral music, you know, just a cappella kind of music, liturgical music, which in a sense transcends the culture. And yes, there are cultural dynamics in that music, but I try to stay away from the praise bands and whatever kind of music in church, because I actually don't think that that's appropriate for public worship. And the reason I say that is that we want to unite people who are different. So when I think of church, I want to worship alongside someone who's into metal, someone who's into hip hop, someone who's into reggae, someone who's into opera. I want to unite people from different walks of life, right? And I think that means laying down our preference in music, right? And then coming to pray together, because that's what I think we come for when we come for corporate prayer. I think there needs to be somewhat of a difference. There needs to be a sense that what we are doing is not to express ourselves in our particular genre, but we're here to unite in the faith. And yes, I've seen, people rapping and doing Christian metal and whatever at church. For me personally, I don't like that because I don't want one genre to be in the church. I kind of want it to be, and I mean, yeah, there's a sense in which you could say, man, you're being ridiculous. But I think the liturgical traditions in the Christian church kind of helps us with getting more of a neutral ground for people of all walks of life, whether they're into hip hop, whether they're into metal or whatever. So I really do think that that's important. So yeah, that's just something that I wanted to speak about. And yeah, I don't really want to get deep into the rest of this verse because this isn't an expository sermon. But yeah, making melodies with your heart and being united with people in spirit, we spoke about that. And it's so important that we are not influenced, right, by things, by being drunkards and things like that. There's nothing wrong with drinking, of course, but there needs to be a sense in which we realize that if we come to the church, we don't want to, because Paul speaks about people who were drinking in the services, and so I think that's appropriate. But I think this is the most important part of this, for me right now, as I'm walking with the Lord, is to redeem the time because the days are evil, to make most of the time that we have now. I think this is a recurring theme, that I've been dealing with. Another recurring theme, of course. What are we giving our time to? Are we making the most of our time with our friends and family and sharpening them to become better people, to grow unto God? That's what I'm trying to do. Yesterday I was with two of my friends. We went to a carnival to have fun together, and spending time in that kind of community is a very spiritually significant thing. To appreciate people, to point them in the direction of God, who is the true, the good, and the beautiful. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We live in a time, and I feel like it's very appropriate to point out that secular society doesn't care about, we have so many things happening. Secular society does not care about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will laugh you out of the room. But I think it's so important for us, especially with wars in between Ukraine and Russia, the war with Israel and Palestine, those kind of things. In times of destruction, in times of evil, people die, and oftentimes those of us who are privileged enough not to be in the middle of those conflicts, those of us who don't have to fear for our lives, we often waste our time. But we don't realize that we are not guaranteed tomorrow. And so it's very important for us as Christians to obviously live our lives to the best of our ability. And then we have St. Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. and I'm going to read that, and and then we'll close off. At that time, Jesus spake unto the chief priests and Pharisees in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. And he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, but to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both good and bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which he had not in a wedding garment. And he saith unto them, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then he said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. So just a few comments on this. I think when we read this passage, it's very, very clear that I'm reminded of the fact that we live in a time where people really don't care about mentions of the kingdom of God, mentions of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, mentions of spiritual realities. And even for us as Christians, I think it's very important that we think about what we give our time to again, because we can be unprepared. We can be unprepared for our death. We can be unprepared for the coming of Jesus Christ and find ourselves lacking. What are we doing with our lives? Are we responding to the invitation of the kingdom of God, where we can partner with God to usher in his kingdom into the world? Are we helping those around us, or are we postponing things? Are we, ignoring what God wants us to do? This is a question I think we should all ask ourselves. So thank you, and I hope you have a good Sunday.